Hello and welcome back to Tuesday Night Gaming, starring Zach, Matt, Rob, Alana, and Jay.
Hey yo!
And today we're playing Marvel Rivals. We just won a game.
Woo!
And we are talking about Daredevil Born Again, Episode 4.
Yeah, we are. Because Episode 5 didn't come out.
It might be our slimmest episode in a while.
Yeah.
I think so. I don't have many notes.
No notes.
No, well, I have notes.
I have notes, but not a lot.
Yeah. I have notes. I'm just saying we're only doing one episode. It seems like we're going to be doing a lot of episodes going forward.
Okay.
Right?
Anything you guys want to discuss? It's also Jay's birthday.
Hello.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Jay.
Birthday. Happy 25th.
When we're recording this.
At the time of recording.
Are you old enough to drink now?
No. I'm a lush and an illegal lush. You're all enablers. How does that make you feel?
So should we jump into Daredevil?
Maybe I'll grab a beer before we start.
3 seconds. I think this show is bad.
Thank you. All right.
I'm so shocked when you guys were like, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm like, are we watching the same show?
It's just dull, if anything. Yeah.
What? What's dull?
It has its moments, I think.
Yeah, this episode in particular was just kind of like, okay, things are happening. I'm not sure why. Yeah. For example, it starts with White Tiger's autopsy, and Matt has this emotional moment with this character we've never seen before.
His niece. It was kind
of
funny because Andrew didn't watch the other episode, so I had him watch the preview, and he was like, that's White Tiger? Isn't White Tiger a girl? And I was like, eh. And then the niece was like, there she is.
You mean like Ultimate Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was, that alone was kind of like, okay, I don't really get it, but.
Well, I don't know, I thought it was kind of interesting when she was like, I hate the cops, I want to kill them, I want them all dead.
You find that interesting? That's like very, that's like.
So boring.
Yeah, that's like.
Boring.
Boring.
First of all, I thought she was going to become the new White Tiger.
She
I thought
will.
That was where it was going.
We don't know if she will or not.
Like
she
six
will.
Seasons, she's so young. I was just like, what are we doing here?
They're all so young.
Young Avenger.
Have a minor as a superhero.
Future young Avenger.
Yeah.
White Tiger.
When the movie eventually comes out.
Yeah. And then we get this creepy dude with the, we get this creepy guy who's like with the freaky mask. I'm kind of intrigued to see where that's going to go.
Yeah. Does Marvel nerd want to tell us who that is?
Jay?
I got nothing.
Villain White Tiger.
Creepy serial killer dude.
Yeah, White Tiger with like bloody teeth.
Wait, Alana, the team's attacking.
Oh, we were still waiting for them.
What?
And you did too. That's why you're hanging out with me.
No, but now I'm telling you, I learned that we're not, and now I'm informing you that we need to attack. Yeah.
Just like everyone in this show getting attacked.
Rob, yeah. So this freaky guy who's like abducting people is?
No, not at all. But it looked kind of cool, but it looked too close to White Tiger. So I was kind of like, is it the same character? They should get.
Yeah, they maybe should have thought that through a little further.
I mean, to me, it was pretty clear that somebody took the White Tiger's mask and then became a serial killer.
No,
the White Tiger's mask.
No way. It's a different mask.
It's clearly a different mask.
Yeah, it's 100% a different mask. I mean, it's one, the mask is like a cloth.
Well, that confused me.
And clearly.
The costume designer should have fixed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we could talk about that guy more maybe at the end, because he gets his big scene kind of at the end. But so the next thing I have is that Daniel, the assistant, is out clubbing.
Yeah, yeah.
Two women we've never seen before.
BB. Everyone loves BB.
We saw once. Fine.
Okay, fine.
She's been interviewing a lot of people, so we see her.
Yeah.
She's behind the screen.
She's behind the camera, most likely.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Stop yawning.
What can't you do?
You're going to yawn during Dominion, too.
This scene where they're in the club was, like, so boring. I couldn't even figure out that something of significance was supposed to be, like, happening.
Just because you don't like clubbing.
Random bullshit. What? That has nothing to do with
that. That's not why.
I think that would have something to do with it. This music is amazing.
It was like, really obvious what was going to happen as soon as he said it. But it didn't make any sense. Because why would BB plug her access to the mayor's office so easily?
Because it's an easy win.
It's not, though. She could have gotten a way bigger scoop if she like kept that guy in her good graces.
Well, I mean, she's a hard-hitting journalist.
But Jay, now she doesn't have any access to the mayor's office.
Yeah, and of course she's going to have access.
Nuh-uh.
She's gonna feed his ego, and it'll be fine.
That dude literally was like about to throw himself on Seppuku
for
Fisk.
Yeah. He's like, I love you so much.
James Gandolfini.
Baby Gandolfini.
Mike Gandolfini.
Who cares a lot about recycling his character? He's so excited about that recycling. I was like, oh, not what I was expecting.
But yeah. So he like gives something away is the point.
Well, yeah. I mean, he basically tells her all of his future plans.
He says that they want to invest in recycling, which for some reason pisses off the garbage union. I don't know. It seems like TV show logic. You know, that's not it.
Well, yes, to a degree, yes. But it was more the fact that he's telling her the plans about what they're doing with the port. And that's the bigger issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also the thing with the union is because it's a show that, like, this is why government doesn't just do stuff. Because there's a million little things that gets in the way.
Right.
Right.
But mostly, I mean, because the whole last episode was all about what's happening with the docks and how it's a major port and all that other stuff. So it's him rattling off about, yeah, we're just going to bypass all the unions. We're going to do our own things. We're going to camp out at the we're going to camp out at the docks. And you know it's all a front. So it's like, him giving away, like, the secret. Like, now people are going to be paying attention to that spot where they didn't think anyone was going to.
That's a whole subplot. It's going to happen.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks, buddy. Okay, so speaking of Kingpin, the next thing I have is they're back in Heather's office, and they're talking about the affair. Yeah. I thought this was another good scene.
Yeah.
I like how you know Heather, like her name and everything, but you can't remember like the major plot line.
Before we have the affair discussion, Matt gets a new case. Guy Bradford or whatever his name is. It's been a couple days since I watched the episode.
Okay. Yeah, I had slightly, but Wilson is like at first he's like, yeah, it doesn't bother me, the affair, but then he's like, but you betrayed me. I can't stand betrayal.
Yeah, he's not bothered by Adam.
That's what he
says. He's not afraid of what Adam does, and he's not bothered by Adam, the person. He's more annoyed that he was betrayed.
Yeah.
It's the action. It's exactly. Not the person, and he doesn't, like, Adam doesn't even blip on his radar of importance.
Is that what you thought, though? Like, I got the sense, they're going to end with this episode or something with him messing with Adam. I thought he was going to just chop off Adam's hand because he was like, oh, his hands were so...
I know.
They're touching Vanessa.
Delicate.
Yeah. But it's more that he didn't believe that he would come back, I would think, right?
Yeah, I thought he was gone forever.
Yeah. He's like, I always come back. You didn't believe I would come back. I don't like that.
Loyalty.
Yeah.
That's all about Kingpin's shtick, is about loyalty and making sure, like, you understand where he stands and where you stand with him. It's why him and Daredevil can have a understanding, and why Spider-Man and Kingpin always have an understanding. They understand where they come from, and like they respect that boundary.
Is this the part where they talk about how she asks Vanessa by herself if she's like safe? Is this the part at the end?
That's the part, right? Kingpin's so scary, so I get it.
Yeah. It seems like I think it's a pretty reasonable question for, like, pretty much any marriage that's going through something like this. Especially when the guy is so, like, physical.
And the mayor. The mayor.
The mayor.
Okay, so now we can talk about Leroy Bradford, a great character.
You think so?
Well, I liked how he was funny. I liked when he was asked, maybe you could say I was a Skrull. It was a Skrull that robbed that convenience store.
Oh, that was so good.
I wrote that, too. That was pretty funny. Yeah.
Is that, like, a common criminal defense now? Like, well, it could have been a Skrull.
It wasn't me.
Why can't I enter? Why can't I go into this game?
Okay, well, actually, I think Leroy Bradford will be very divisive. I'm sure I could see him getting on some people's nerves. Some people probably find him a lot.
I thought he had one of the better performances. I guess the second best performance after the Mr. Bernthal. To me.
Mr. Bernthal.
John Bernthal.
Oh, you thought he had a good performance? Oh, God.
I think
he was fine. No, I think he was fine.
Here comes the divisive.
He's not a subtle actor, but I don't know. He brings an energy that I appreciate.
We'll talk about that part in a second, I guess. Yeah. I was fine with it, but it's interesting that we get this whole kind of debate about the criminal justice system and, you know, is it good? Is it bad? You know,
Member's apparently a prison abolitionist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is interesting.
But again, I mean, this all ties into, like, that whole conversation of, like, whether or not he actually, like, would support cops and how or anything like that, right? Like, he understands, like, people are kind of shitty.
Well, it's weird that he says he believes in the system. The Punisher even yells at him, like, yeah, you and your system. But then he's like, yeah, what if we just get rid of, I don't know, get rid of everything.
He's like, yeah, I don't trust the system that he needs 35 days in jail.
Yeah, I did like the part where he talks to the DA. He has more chemistry with her than he does with Heather.
Yeah. That was a good scene.
That's true.
Yeah. That was a good scene. He's like, hey, DA, Attorney Murdoch, or whatever she calls
it. Lafayette Heritage Day. It's referenced twice in this episode.
It's a blind thing. Oh my god, that was a great part too. Not to skip ahead, but that was a great part.
Well, do you want
maybe
to say
I kind of like it. Maybe I did kind of like this episode. Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. So they have the discussion about what his deal is.
The prison system. Not cool, man. Right. And then he has a confrontation with Braddock, the dirty cop. Actually, we don't know if he's dirty. We just sort of assume that.
Powell. He talks to Powell. Yeah.
Powell, yeah. But he knows that he's innocent of killing Hector.
White Tiger. Yeah. Yeah. That's the main thing that we learn. And then Powell says, like, you don't want to make an enemy of the entire NYPD. You should just let it go.
Of course, he does.
Seems like pretty good advice, if you ask me. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Nothing wrong with it, Jeff. How dare you?
Did you guys like the part where Matt is like, well, if you guys want to come after me, you should bring more people?
Yeah, that was great. That was funny. All right. Oh, yeah. So then the next part is Fisk is there to talk about Red Hook. He's like, we're going to make changes to Red Hook. That was pretty funny writing, too. And they were like, what do you think of when you think of Red Hook? And they're like, it's dirty. Or
it's gross.
They are not wrong.
So Red Hook's a real place. I just assumed it was like the Narrows.
Yeah, it's 100% a real place.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
I figured it was like a metaphor for Hudson Yards or something.
No. It's a real, legit place that kind of sucks. It's just outside of the city, but it sucks. I dated a girl from out there. No, she wasn't a witch. It was in high school.
It was high school.
Isn't it amazing how in this day and age we can still learn new things about New York?
You mean Jay?
That too.
A Jay.
Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. So
and that's the part where, his like assistant is like, you have to do this. You have to talk to the general. No, you have to get a thing from
some other... of the council.
Yeah.
He's like, I want solutions.
Yeah.
It was
amazing that Fisk like kept his cool in that scene, in my opinion.
Considering knowing him the way we do.
I was getting mad listening to her like say, like, well, you have to start an exploratory study.
He needs to approve the study.
I was like, shut up.
Someone doesn't believe in the
civic process.
Goddamn bureaucracy. Yeah. All right, so then Bradford, he has this whole speech about crime and punishment.
Wolverine really lays it out for me.
Yeah. It's the Wolverine guy.
I can't blame him.
Hey. You're just getting the Leroy Sob speech.
Yeah. And he's like, he's like, oh.
He just goes on and on and on. He's like, and that's why I stole that caramel crunch from a store.
I just wanted a taste of something sweet, so I stole that caramel corn. Yeah. Do you guys think the episode did a somewhat decent job of not really, like, picking a side about who's right and who's wrong?
Yeah, I would say so.
I don't think it's on his side, Leroy's.
I thought it was mostly on his side, but not too blatantly.
Interesting.
I thought they actually did a decent job depicting kind of both sides.
He didn't go to jail over something better than caramel corn.
Well, also, it's like, well, I don't know about you guys, but I was like, why can't you just take the 20 days in jail? You know, the logical thing is like, don't hold out for everything. Compromise. But he's like, no, I won't compromise.
But that's the whole point. That's the whole argument of the episode.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, he's already gotten his life fucked. That's the whole point. Why should he have to suffer more, like, when he's...
Well, I think also he doesn't make logical, rational decisions. That's half the point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, that is logical, but he's not... Although, I didn't like the part, and I guess you're not supposed to like the part, where he's like, hey, man, I don't want to go to jail. You're the lawyer, so do your job. Don't make me be in jail. I don't want to be, so it's your job to keep me out of it.
Why is that not good?
Because Matt Murdock is only human.
Yeah. He's a superhero.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but this guy doesn't know that.
Well, it's like the guy has had many chances not to commit crimes, right? I guess that's like the conservative argument.
He asks the impossible and then gets mad at Matt when Matt can't do the impossible, you know? That's not cool.
But again, like, the system is broke, so the system has fucked him, so he wants I don't feel like it's horribly justified. And yeah, you expect your lawyer to do everything they can to get you out, no matter what, regardless if you're right or wrong, or guilty or not guilty. I mean, that's the whole point of having a lawyer, right? It's to make sure you get your fucking thing taken care of, your situation. So, like, it's not like it's...
Hey, how did the system fuck him? He stole caramel corn.
Well, he explained that. That was his whole sob story, that he never really had a chance, right?
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. It's the fact that he... Yeah, the system fucked him the first time. And then, right, so now he's getting fucked again. And so it's already just a broken system. It's all about the system being broken and how everyone gets fucked by it, right?
Everyone does.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, he was fucked the first time. So, yeah, it's his. So, I mean, why shouldn't he expect something to work out for him?
The one time. Yeah. That's all we ask.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so here comes the best part of the episode, which is Fisk get the children's choir singing "We Built This City on Rock and Roll."
Yeah,
that's my favorite scene too. Yeah,
yeah,
it's a great scene. Especially because song is about San Francisco, not about New York.
Oh, whatever, dude. Nerd alert!
I thought it was funny.
No, it's not the best part. The best scene is the part where he leaves and goes to the Latvian choir, and then they sing "We Built This City on Rock and Roll"
again. Has to hear it over again.
Yeah,
and he's so bitter about it.
That was like amazing.
It was great. It was really well done. Everyone's so proud and so happy, and he's like, fuck this.
Yeah, that was great. It's nice to see him, like, you know, oh man.
You don't really see Fisk as the butt of the joke very often. Or really jokes at all in this Daredevil show.
I left the point.
Oh no.
C9?
No.
I laughed out loud when he was
and his fake smirk.
We have another song for you, Mayor Fisk. He's like, no.
Yeah. He's like, the city never sleeps.
But I did like how it went from like cute kids who sang like shit to like obviously like really well polished people, and like he's like, oh yeah, he could fake it for the kids, but he is not, he's like barely holding it together for the adults. He's like,
you don't know how well polished they are, because they're also just thinking in Latvian, so he's just like, ah.
Well, I mean, tonally they were far better than the kids.
Well, that's true.
You were in it very briefly because like we get the idea he has to keep doing it. All right, let's move on. So then Daniel admits that he was the one to leak it to BB, and then he has this speech that just goes on and on and on about how much he loves Fisk.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable. Like, it was like too much.
Do they explain why he loves Fisk so much? I wasn't an explanation.
They do not explain it, other than he is, I mean, I think it's...
He's looking for a father figure.
Some people think he is.
Okay.
He just kind of looks...
Some people think he's just the reverse Bernie bro, forever, like, faithful representation. But other people definitely think he's potentially a
true believer,
illegitimate heir to the Kingpin. Right?
That makes sense. Mm. But Fisk forgives him now.
Okay, so Daniel has a speech that's really long. There's some good drama where you're like, oh my god, what's Fisk going to do when he finds out who... like betrayed him.
Yeah, and we see what happens. As long as you own up loyalty and his understanding of generality of loyalty and butt kissing is all you need to stay on his good graces. Yep. And how staying true to your word is everything that Fisk wants in a person.
In a partner, if you will. Unlike Vanessa. Okay, so then we get Daredevil does a little bit of CSI work.
Yeah, CSI Daredevil. Well, I did like this part, though. Although it was kind of... There's nothing he does that... Somebody's up top. There's nothing he does that nobody else could have figured out.
Yeah,
you know?
They did it.
But why not? The CSI techs couldn't have, like, figured that out.
Well, they don't like Hector.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess it's true. They were like, yeah, why should we?
Yeah, who cares?
There's no reason for them to really do the work when they... One, they don't care about them. And two... They're overworked.
That too.
Yeah.
Okay, so he finds the bullet. I guess he can feel that the Punisher skull is on it, but we didn't see that. Or at least I didn't. Maybe I wasn't paying attention.
I don't think that it does showed us.
You're not supposed to see it until after the fact.
Yeah. So he goes to see the Punisher. Yay!
Yay.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, Rubber, he had his own also disappointing show.
Yeah,
I don't like that show.
What?
Right, he goes to see the Punisher, and I did not. I didn't like this scene.
No,
it was weirdly overwrought, and like I was like, people don't talk this way.
I mean, well, it does.
The part where he's like, "I served, man, I served." That reminded me of that.
It shows like that's it's another wonderful version of comparisons and dichotomies.
I like the part where he's like, "I never used the word victim to describe myself in my whole life."
That pussy it's, word.
Yeah.
I guess the issue I had with the scene is like it's kind of like, I don't know, Rob, you can speak to this a little bit, but it's like it's kind of like acting 101. What is your character's motivation in this scene? Yeah. And like, what is Matt's motivation? He doesn't like Matt doesn't stick to his motivation. I guess like he comes in because he wants to confront him about the casing, but then he immediately gives that up and then starts crying. And then like the Punisher gets into his head like immediately about Foggy and he starts crying, mm-hmm. And it's just like. Yeah.
Weirdly in everybody.
Yeah, but the Punisher isn't exactly Mr. Feelings.
Yeah.
He did like understand like Daredevil surprisingly well. It's like, are you like stalking him? Like, I know Foggy's just in your head all the time.
Yeah. I know you hear him. Yeah.
Well, I know, I was okay with that because you know the Punisher's lost men, man. He's lost buddies in combat. You wouldn't get it.
I did like the part where he's like, I hear my son all the time telling me to get the next one, get him down. I was like, yeah, the Punisher is crazy. It was a good depiction of him. I guess I didn't really like how Matt like folded so quickly and like got pushed around by him on his own show.
But again, I mean, this just showcases like how broken Matt is right now. I mean, right?
Right. The only thing that will make things better is Daredevil.
Yeah. I mean...
We've never seen on the Daredevil show is Daredevil being sad. We need that some more.
Yeah. People haven't seen him be sad enough.
Yeah.
His main personality is just smirking a lot.
Yeah.
He's sad all the time.
Mm. He cries. That's how he copes.
Yeah, he cries all the time. So yeah, I found that scene very unsatisfying and confusing. Not enjoyable to watch.
I mean, I guess I could see that. I thought it was interesting. It wasn't the greatest scene by far. But at the same time, like, I could
some good
see
Punisher.
What was happening with it. And, I mean, so that's the other thing, right? So, like, John Bernthal didn't want to do it initially because he didn't like the way that they were writing him, like they were going to make him. So yep. Now I'm intrigued to see what they wanted out of him.
Yeah, I'm like, he should stuck to his guns.
Like, I haven't seen the Punisher show. Is it vastly different than this guy that's like ranting and raving?
He's not nearly as crazy in the Punisher show. He's much more together.
I mean, yeah, Rob, don't get me started on the Punisher show. What a disappointment.
Okay,
he doesn't do any punishing. That's major issue with it. He takes on like government conspiracies. Yeah.
They didn't want to show him just like murdering tons and tons of.
Just do the NS Punisher. Come on.
That's what I was thinking.
Garth Ennis.
Yeah, I agree.
It's so easy. And he almost never dresses as a Punisher, of course.
It's not very Disney friendly, but it would be good.
Well, that was when it was still on Netflix, actually.
Yeah, that's true, but so, it still feels new.
We get a scene with Matt and Heather where they like each other.
Yeah. I was like, oh, we get that have a sex scene on Disney Plus. No. No, we aren't.
No, never. We couldn't possibly.
Well, I guess they're living with each other now. That's the big thing out of the scene.
Well, it sounded like she just
was just there. She has a key.
Yeah.
All right. Never mind then. Then nothing happened this scene. I don't know.
You see that they haven't been communicating. She's been
Jay's
doing
MVP.
Her secret stuff. She's been doing her secret sessions with Kingpin. Matt's been doing his secret stuff. And then he goes up into his secret little rooftop
fight scenes so he can have a fight scene like Electro from Daredevil.
Yeah.
So we could all be like, is he going to dress up and hang from a cross?
All right, we'll switch to Dominion.
I liked when he was like flipping the thing around, flip. Throws it at the camera. It's good stuff. Become Daredevil again.
Who's flipping around at the camera?
You.
Okay.
Yeah, Matt Murdock.
Yeah, great name. All right, so the Fisks at home. They were at home still talking about the affair. Oh, yeah, and then Matt starts training. Why did Matt start training as Daredevil? Can someone mansplain it to me? Is it because the Punisher convinced him that he stopped being a little B-I-T-C-H?
Yeah.
Well, it's good to get the stress out.
That's not why.
He wants to go to a prison and kill Bullseye.
Yeah.
He got live! Oh my god. Tell me about your scenery chewing.
Yeah, it's like, if the Punisher is like being a vigilante, he fills a hole inside you that nothing else can. Just embrace it. You know you want to.
I don't know. I for I guess that's another reason why I didn't really like this episode, is that this is supposed to be like your character's like born again, like why he swore he never would do it and now he's doing it again, and because of what?
But he's not doing it again. He's just training, keeping his skills sharp, because he's already been threatened. But like, he's already been attacked by cops. He's got to keep his skills sharp, man.
No, he's teasing us. Tease. That's what he is.
And I mean, hey, it is a good stress reliever. He just had some booty, and now he needs to work out the rest of the kinks.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he had some booty, he doesn't need to work out. He's just taking it easy.
He's a stress reliever.
Yeah, it only burns so much calories.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be in his shape, you got to burn a whole lot more than that.
Maybe. Anyway, so I guess he's not going back to the suit yet, but hopefully soon. So then the next scene is we get our big reveal to Dom that Adam is actually alive and the Kingpin's torturing him.
Yeah. I always thought he would be alive, but I didn't see him being tortured. And this, I don't think it's that big of a reveal. We know that he's using underhanded methods to...
I was actually surprised, though, dude, because I was hoping that he would do a better job not being a supervillain. Maybe that was naive of me.
They didn't really tease that out at all. You know, like, he's kind of, you know, they didn't, he's barely been in office where he's like, remember the part where he's threatening the police commissioner about his son? I was like, okay, I guess we're just doing this now.
No one's going to buy that he's reformed.
Well, and not even the audience. And we know he's not.
Exactly.
I would have liked them to tease it out a little bit more. That's like Matt being like, I'm not going to be Daredevil anymore. And then 2 seconds later, you know, he puts on the suit and starts beating people up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we are in a compressed timeline. Plus, I mean, we've already seen every episode, like, 3 close-up of his knuckles being bloody. So
that's true. That's true.
That's true. I do wonder, because it wasn't originally a longer season, and like, I wonder if they were going to originally have him, like, slowly, just because the politics are so restrictive, he just starts breaking the rules a little bit until
I foresee that. I imagine that's probably a good chunk of it. Or they were just... I mean, Kingpin is a person who has difficulties reining in certain emotions and control, right? So...
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a whole thing that he does.
The whole thing. Okay, so then the stinger, we get the White Tiger. Well, I guess he's not White Tiger. The white-faced dude, who's, a serial killer.
Yeah, playing his victim, whoever that is, underneath, like, the subway or something.
That's right. Ooh, scary. And that's the episode.
He seems like he's like the Joker.
Reminded me of that guy from Invincible.
The guy from Invincible.
Yeah, that like serial killer who takes people and turn them into like half robots.
I didn't watch that part of Invincible.
Like, it's in the first season. The gay guy's boyfriend gets kidnapped.
That was not in the first season.
Well, I do remember that. And it was in the first season because that was the only one that I watched. Thank you, Alana.
I guess I missed that one.
So the assumption is that it's that masked villain is most likely the Muse.
They're really running out of supervillain superhero names.
Which is one of Daredevil's biggest.
Oh, so big, none of us have ever heard of him.
Well, I'm sorry, you heathen.
It's not a 2003 movie, obviously. You can't be one of the biggest.
I mean, I think we have a better than average knowledge about Daredevil among us.
He's just he's not like a superpower. Like, he's not like a super powerful. He's just a shitty person. Yeah, he's a serial killer who likes to paint with people's blood.
So what do we think of the episode? It had its ups and downs. I thought it was on the whole okay, though.
It was more comedic than most of the episodes. Yeah, it was still kind of bland, and there was no action at all. I mean, you don't need action, but you got to replace it with something else.
Yeah, I thought it was inconsistent. Yeah, I mean, it had the great scenes with Fisk and the choir, but it had the Punisher scene that was really confusing and bad. So, and then the therapy is doing nothing for me. Like, nothing.
With Vanessa?
Yeah. Vanessa. Yeah.
It also makes me wonder, is the Punisher still punishing, or is he just sitting in his basement and, like, brooding?
I think he's still punishing.
Yeah. I'm just... Because they do say vigilantes are still around. I guess he's...
Yeah, I don't know. In this episode, it looks like he hasn't been. He's just kind of moping and kind of doing whatever.
He can't be out there punishing every single second of the day.
Of course he can.
So if it's a job like Starbucks.
Yeah, he's got to be like at home. Everybody needs to decompress sometimes.
I'm wrong.
I get it.
He's an introvert. Yeah, you can tell. He has a recharge battery.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I thought it was overall, this episode was, it had its up and down. Overall, I thought I liked it. It's interesting to For me, the therapy sessions were middlingly interesting. The whole trial, that was... I liked the trial parts because, yeah, it shows that Matt's really struggling between the concepts of right and wrong and what drives a person to do certain things. And, like, and we also see, like, the fact that, like... And it also highlights, like, the fact that the cops are also really... It emphasizes the fact that the cops are kind of fucked up. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. we just sat there and ate the caramel popcorn. I wanted caramel popcorn, but
they bought the caramel popcorn.
Did they?
I mean, that's what they said.
This guy said he paid for it too. So yeah, is it just because right. the badge that you're gonna believe him? I mean,
yeah,
they got security tape from the bodega across the street or whatever,
but no one saw it. But like, yeah, so there's like little nuggets of intrigue and like little nuggets of showcasing where Matt's head is trying to really. Not just Matt's head, but like in audience participation, we're trying, like, you're trying to navigate all of this stuff and like the leaked the mayor's secrets, but no, it's totally fine because, you know, they said whoopsie and, you know, it could be used and showcase that, you know, he can do good at the same time. Oh, no, that's not totally current event-esque. And like, there's just like little bits and pieces that I've like really started like going through and be like, it definitely it's more than just a beat 'em up show, which is what I like.
That's fine,
which is normally not what I like, but in this case, I like it.
Alana, what did you think?
It was bad.
And see, I had to keep talking because I knew that was going to be a short answer.
Summed it up.
All right.
Let's do it. Let's see what we got here. Let's see what we got here.
What do we have here, Matt?
Question number one comes to us courtesy of Zach. He sent it to me fresh today. Now, fresh off the presses.
Is it, what did you get Jay for his birthday?
No. It's, should passengers who arrive late be allowed to jump the airport security line?
Yes, this was on Fox 5 News, local news, and they were asking that question.
No.
Jay?
If you show up late, no. If you're there and you're in security, so there's the difference. If you show up late, then fuck you. If you are there because of security, because of whatever else, other issues, then yes. But if you purposely show up late to the airport because you don't plan properly, then no. You shouldn't skip the line.
But how do you know if it was lack of planning or like a car accident?
That wasn't part of the question. The question was if they show up, like I'm just explaining mine. Like,
so, yeah.
No, go ahead.
No. Oh, were you done? Okay, well, I was just going to say, if we lived in a perfect world where everybody doesn't abuse systems and everybody was honest and fair, yes, you should be allowed to do that. You know, things happen. You know, you need to get to your flight right away. I don't need to get to my flight right away because I got there ahead of time and you didn't. That's how things should be. But unfortunately, if you set up a system like this, it will be abused and people will take advantage. And unfortunately, you can't do it. That's just how it goes.
So if I can provide a little bit of context to the question, and this, I apologize if this changes people's answers. The reason why the Fox 5 crew were talking about it is because someone on Twitter wrote, overheard in line at the airport, somebody says, excuse me, do you mind if I cut in front of you? I'm late and I need to catch a flight. And the guy in front of him said like, no.
I mean, you're more than welcome to ask. And I would most like 95% of the time, I'd be like, yeah, sure, go ahead. Because I'd be there on time and I'd probably have time to spend it. I'd probably go, sure, go ahead. But like to the entitlement of saying like, you're late, you automatically skip. It's not where my head goes.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. No, like, you
as an individual would let someone go.
Yeah, I would, but it's because you're a good person. Yeah, I'm being nice.
Also, one person ahead of you in line isn't really going to make that big of a difference.
And I mean, if they keep going, hey, cool. More than I mean, I let people cut me in line all the fucking time. It's fine, but like.
To go through the process of like of asking each individual person and like they have to put the, if they want to get to that front of that line, they got to put that effort in, I guess is what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah, it shouldn't be expected. It shouldn't be an entitlement that you can do it. Like, everyone, like, so my thing, so like, when I was in Korea and I had to come back, it was, my dad was a fucking idiot and planned poorly, and I'm not going to keep condescending him. But we got there with only 40 minutes to get on our flight. And there was a major sporting event, and everyone was flying home. And the line to go back to the States to go through security to get up to the international flights literally wrapped around the airport twice.
Oh, yes, you're screwed.
So they told us, like, there was, like, basically an hour wait to get through, just to get to the security line. And we had in less than 40 minutes. So I stood there and we asked a couple of employees. My dad asked a couple of employees, we're kind of fucked. What's the deal? And they're like, oh, yeah, no, everyone's fucked. And we're like, okay. And then a ton of people were fucked. And then eventually an employee was like, okay, people whose flights are leaving in a half hour, raise your hands. Let's see if we can push you. We opened another security gate. Let's try to get you through. And they did that for each one. And then we got in. I got to the gate as I was the last person on the plane.
Wow.
Yeah.
My dad, surprisingly, was not, because he's a fuck. Because that motherfucker left me.
I have all the sympathy in the world for people that are late to a flight and you're desperate to get on and these things happen. But unfortunately, we can't set up a system like that, because otherwise people will take advantage and nobody 100%. Will show up on time, and then
every flight will get delayed, and every flight, and then everyone is just fighting at security. Yeah, no, that's exactly, like, I understood me and, well, my dad fucked up and I had to deal with the consequences, and if I missed my flight, I was gonna be fucked and I was gonna have to stay in Korea for fucking another 4 days. It was gonna be a thing. But, like, I understood, like, that was on us for fucking up, and graciously people were willing to let it work for us. But I was like, but, like, yeah, you can't, like, I'm okay with people asking. I'm not okay with the thought it's gonna be an entitlement. You show up late, you get to cut the line.
There's no system that is gonna work. Rob, what do you think?
This is one of the most intense questions, that we've ever had.
I've been drinking.
Yeah, maybe that's why. No, I mean, it's kind of a cheat, but I was like, maybe can we just make an exception? Like, maybe once a year you're allowed to just, like, be late and then, like, get ahead of the line. Like, but, like, I agree, like, with Matt, I feel like people are just going to, like, oh, I can just get there late and it's no problem. Like, they'll just let me in. Yeah, I'll do that every single time. So,
yeah,
if it's just that one option, I wouldn't say no, because, like, myself included, I'd also be like, well, I can be late. I'll slack off, because I don't want to get airport early.
It won't even be late anymore. It'll be on time, because if you can just walk in whenever you feel like it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, so to add on to it, like, having, you know, all the little perks of all the paid things that you can do now, right? You can already kind of sort of skip the line, right?
Right.
You have TSA clear, you have all this other stuff. I'm not going to lie, I've gotten to the point where I take advantage of it, and I'm like, then I can be an hour early rather than 2 hours early. And I've noticed that, like, it's getting closer and closer to kind of fucking me. So now I'm back to my norm, back to my old ways of going, no, don't be an idiot. You're going to get fucked one time. Knock it off. So, like, it's just, it in theory, it would right itself if people take responsibility, but who's to say people are going to take responsibility?
Indeed. I think there was a time when I started coming, like, an hour before because I had TSA pre-check.
Yeah, it no longer gets you through so quickly anymore. And it's going to get worse with less and less TSA, like, employees and stuff like that. Like,
good point.
When I went to LA, people were waiting for 3 hours to get through TSA clear. Like, TSA, like, pre-check.
Wow.
3 hours. Dang. It's like, oh, that sucks. I just beat the rush, and I just saw the line just go crazy, and, like, half of our flight was like, we're just gonna sit here now because a bunch of people are stuck in the security. I was like, motherfucker, right? So it is what it is.
That's the next question. Should a flight wait for people who are late?
No, that's the same answer, same idea. It's the same concept.
I do.
Alana, what do you think?
Since I always get there really early, they can go in front of me.
I want to be early and the flight leave early.
What's the precedent for that?
Huh?
What? That's, you're setting a precedent for doing that.
I'm like, this doesn't make any sense in practicality, because I'm not at the airport that often. No one's gonna recognize me and be like, "Oh, that's the girl you can cut in front of."
But what if that? Okay, but that's just you. What if we're talking about society?
No, I didn't say that.
I don't think it could go either way.
You said Zach. The question was not, would you let someone who's late for their flight cut ahead of you in line? The question was, should people who are late to their flight be able to skip the line?
Yeah, it was a generalistic statement. Yeah. It was a very generalized statement, rather than.
But I think we can move on. I think we all agree that no, sucks to suck.
I don't think we all agree about that.
Not about that either. Yeah.
Let's move on.
Team suck it.
Question number two: if you had to describe yourself with an adjective that begins with the same letter as your first name, what would it be?
This is from Indian matchmaking.
Yeah, Zach, did you provide this one?
Well, yes, but it's from Indian matchmaking. Somebody asked it on a first date question.
Okay, and I have not thought about this ahead of time. Zach, you're in trouble for this one. I don't know how many adjectives there are that start with a Z.
God, how about zesty?
I like that.
I am zesty.
How about zoomerific?
I'm going to stick with zealot. Yeah,
you're a zealot?
Yes. My life for hire. The rest of you have it easy.
Yeah, I know.
So can we do what you would pick for yourself, and then can we go around and say, and people can pick?
Oh, sure.
Someone for someone else. Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Oh, and everyone should pick something for someone else. Yeah, be real good. People are gonna be burned, and it's gonna be great.
The M adjective that's coming in mind for me, and I don't know if it's accurate or not, is meticulous. I don't know if that really makes a lot of sense, but
I would urge everyone to look at the last episode's description.
Is there a typo?
No. Is it a little thin?
Whatever, dude.
That's not what meticulous means.
Zach made me... Wow, you're calling me out. That one's not. Damn. One mistake. Oh, yeah, I thought you came in with a woman. One small mistake.
I was going to say mighty.
Aw.
Mighty.
Yeah. I don't know. I see that. What should I buy?
For Jay, can you be Jazzy Jay, please?
DJ Jazzy Jay.
Yeah, DJ Jazzy Jay.
I did play in a jazz band.
No wonder you and CJ get along so well. The other day, you guys texted me. They had extra tickets to Pops and Jazz, and they wanted to know if I wanted to go. And I said, no, I have childhood trauma.
I thought you were going to say, sure, I could use a good nap.
That is true.
Love you, CJ.
Wow.
Love you three times.
Yeah, those tickets are a hot commodity in West Hartford, probably.
We're jammed.
I need to look at a thesaurus.
Just look at his image on Dominion. That's jolly. Have you ever seen it?
I'll say judicious for Jay. Yeah.
Interesting. I would not have pictured judicious for me. But I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it considering my just recent argument.
Yeah, your recent ranting.
I'm going to say jocular.
What does that mean?
Fond of or characterized by joking.
Oh, like jovial.
Yeah.
That's a good word, Alana. Did you just come up with that?
No, I Googled it.
I was going to say joshing.
That's joshing Jay.
Why don't you just put in chat into ChatGPT at this point, goddammit?
That's not a good idea.
You need to use your brain.
Look, I came up with one for myself, and I feel like that's all I should have been asked for.
No.
Yeah. So what the hell? Autonomous.
Wow.
Autonomous.
Especially autonomous.
So proudly autonomous.
What about amazed?
That's boring.
Wow. Boring.
How about avowed?
Matt, I think you should be mediator.
Okay. That sounds, I don't have a problem with that.
Your children.
Could be the adjudicator, Alana.
Or abdicator.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, abdicate the answers to questions.
True.
Oh.
Truth.
Through that. What about for Rob?
We can skip Rob. No, come on, Rob.
Can I say real? R-E-E-L?
Are you
real, Rob?
That's not an adjective.
Yeah, it is, dude. Did you hear me describe it? It's like movie related. Total, it works. Rob, you buy it, right?
That's good. Real Rob. Yeah, that was my YouTube page. Yeah, no, not really. But no, but that would work. Yeah.
I'm gonna say realistic Rob.
Center of reality. All right.
I'll say for Alana, I'll say advising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I asked for Alana for advice.
Mm-hmm.
About what?
Don't worry about it. That's between me and her.
Okay.
But it's how to deal with Zach. No, just kidding.
You're going to need advice for that.
I pick articulate for...
I'll say restrained for Rob.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah. GPT did a good job on that one.
I have ChatGPT on my phone.
Right now.
Regurgitative Rob can regurgitate all the movie knowledge that he obtained.
I'll say for Lana Adamant.
That's a good one.
That's good.
True. See, I'm adamant that it's true.
I'm adamant that this kingdom is like really weird and bad.
What? I'm doing great. Should have bought Chapel.
Good for you. Yeah, I should have. Okay, was that everybody? Did everybody do everybody? You know what I mean?
So?
Yeah, I think so.
I think, are most people punting on Zach?
I don't think I got one.
I said Zoom.
I said Zoomerific.
Zaboomaboo.
We're just going to make it up words.
Zach Morris.
Zach Morris life.
That is so good.
Zach Attack, baby. Let's go.
That was actually really good.
All right, anything else you do? Were those all three questions?
No, those were only two questions.
It's going to be our longest episode ever.
Question that's not really a question of the day, but I guess it is a question. Rob, are you ever going to let us read your screenplay?
You can. I printed it out actually recently.
Whoa.
I mean, I've written like six or so features, but there's one about killer furries that I submitted to some festivals and it did okay.
Did you say killer furries?
Yeah, it's like a horror, you know, you guys love horror films, so you know, I got, yeah.
Yes. Famously and love horror films.
Furries, of course, like I was about saying.
So does your class or does your community then...
Community more,
do you use, do you get together and actually film like rough draft trailers or... do like storyboarding?
I have my own meetup where we shoot a short film every few months, and then like I'm part of another meetup that's like we just submit like 10 pages or so of our screenplay and we'll read it out loud and then critique it. So I guess the combination of those two groups. I'll submit to festivals. I just started doing kind of recently, so I need to do that more.
I don't see.
Yeah, but if anybody has $1 million to like produce a film, let me know.
Let my sister-in-law know.
Yeah.
Don't call us about that. All right. Question number three is, who on the call would you have the hardest time living with?
Mine is two.
What?
Go ahead, Jay. Sorry.
No, my answer is Matt.
Yeah, you guys.
You have a whole family.
I was wondering that too. Does the family?
That doesn't count. It's not, they're not me. It's just me. Well, like, do you include the kittens for Rob?
I was going to, yeah. I was going to say Rob, because one cat I can live with, but not, like, four.
Woo-hoo. Oh, that's fair.
What? My God.
What?
You gotta be kidding me.
Got it.
Nerds.
One more. It's my question, and I'm going to say no. It's not the family. It's just the person. Sorry, Jay. Unless you guys want to do it.
All right, no.
I'm backing out.
No. I'm okay with this. Matt.
Still Matt.
Because I don't want to live in Connecticut.
There you go.
Thank you, Art.
There's all these externalities. I want to hear about personalities. Like, which of you guys is the dirtiest?
Matt's not trying to cause trouble.
Yeah, 100% it's me.
Okay, then I choose Jay as well.
I thought this before Matt said this, but having spent a long time in Jay's house, I wouldn't want to live there. It doesn't have the level of cleanliness I personally could live with. Sorry, Jay.
You guys remember the conversation about would you rather be like the dirty roommate or the clean roommate?
Yeah.
Like we would be running into that situation.
100%.
Alana?
I just have too much.
I would say whoever stays up late and plays video games loudly, which I kind of assume is Jay.
You mean your husband?
Jay. Yeah, I already have one.
And you live with them.
Yeah, and sometimes I can't sleep and I'm like, you need to leave.
Oh, I shut my computer off at like 10 o'clock, 10:30.
Pull out the Switch.
No, I don't do portable gaming.
Okay, then I guess Rob, because he's got the cats and like Bobby wouldn't like
it. On Reddit, we already determined that the cats are not a package deal with Rob.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
They're not like crawling all over me. And like...
He always has one on his shoulder and like in his pockets.
Like Dr. Evil over here. Come on.
All right. God. He said me. I said Jay.
I also said Jay.
Alana also said... Wait, no. Alana said Rob.
And Jay.
Alana goes for two.
Which is... You know what's actually funny? Because it's only when I live by myself that I don't give a fuck. But when I have roommates, I'm extremely clean.
Okay.
Because there I feel go. Bad about it. So, like, whenever I say... Mm-hmm. Like, whenever I have roommates, like, I am, like, the clean one. Because it pisses me off that, like, potentially someone will look at me negatively.
Yeah. That motivates you to be clean.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Zach, see, I mean, when I was living
that's true.
Before, like, I keep that all the areas clean because it's just, it's like, why? But, like, if it's me, who gives a fuck? So, That being said, right. I would still pick me if I were you all. If I was everyone else, I would still pick me.
Yeah, Jay, I think I'm going to pick you. Not because 100%. Of that. Just I feel like because you play a lot of video games, I think I would also be like, you're playing something cool. I'd be like, oh, I can join you. And then like suddenly it's 3 a.m. We're still playing video games.
Enable each other.
Yes, yeah, we play like Tekken to like forever. You know,
that would be so fun, though.
It sounds like, actually it does sound cool. Even as I say it out loud, I'm like,
that would be so fun.
I can't.
And then we can make trailers and storyboards.
Yes. All right, that's productive. Yeah, that's true.
All right, anything else, guys?
It's happening.
We all get along.
All right. I'm moving in with Jay. It's happening.
Thank you for joining us here on Tuesday Night Gaming. Catch us every week at 8 p.m. at twitch.tv/mcsciencey Eastern Time. And group up with us next time.
Hey, y'all.
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies, or questions about you, come for the laughs, come for the banter, come for whatever you choose. To Tuesday Night Gaming with the siblings and Jay. Listen while they play.